Okay.
Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So we are coming towards the end of our six Patreon Platform Sutta series of sharing and Dhamma discussion. Today is the 2nd of September 2018. Our 84 lesson of the six Patreon Platform Sutta. And like I told you all last week, we had 10 more pages to go. I hope to finish off before the end of September. Maybe earlier, I'm not very sure. So we see how it goes. Then like I said, today the weather is extraordinary. So when I came out, PG came and fetched me and my wife. So this part I want to share because it's very strange and very unique. But like my wife said, it is a nature's phenomenon. Nature's phenomenon. They will happen this way. So Yesterday evening, PG asked me, "Brother, what time should I come and pick you?" I said, 2:30. Then later I said, maybe 2:35 also can, otherwise we'll arrive early, and really arrive early. So luckily, she made the decision to come 5 minutes earlier, exactly 2:30 she arrived. Then when she came in, she said, "Brother, you better go fast. Going to rain already." I said, don't worry. we go. Then when we put everything in, when we were on the car, we drove out. Within less than 1 minute, wow, it was pouring like anything. Then when we were about to reach here, it's still pouring. So I thought the rain will be there. But when we turned into the gate, Bisley's gate, the rain stopped. Completely stopped. Then we came out of the car. Then I told my wife, "Your parami is very good." He said, no, nature's phenomenon. Then when she came in, the rain started again, very heavy. So nature has its own way of manifestation, of unfolding of condition. So like I shared last week, in one of the sessions, I don't know whether Tuesday or Thursday or even Sunday class. Our spiritual trip also same. Everything will unfold accordingly, and it's so beautiful. It's like man to be, will be. As long as you are on the right path, developing the right cultivation, trust your nature, trust your good blessing. Trust your good karma, things will go your way. So in life, this is what you need to understand when you cultivate the Buddha Dhamma. No need to worry, no need to fear. Just lead, act, and do whatever you have to do. If you are sincere, if you are kind, if you have the good heart, if you have the Dhamma, the wisdom, the understanding, your form and mind will be beautiful. You will get to lead the beautiful life of a noble one. Then you will start to understand more and more. Then your progress along the path of Dhamma become very different. So this is the part we need to understand. Then there is a lot of joy today. I don't know why. Maybe they know it's the last two lessons or what. And maybe something good is going to come out of this session. So we also rejoice. Okay, we are now compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, and mindfully we shall commence the Buddha puja. The puja. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Fo. 南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，南无佛菩萨，南无佛菩萨，南无佛菩萨。阿拉哈萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦布达巴嘎瓦达阿比瓦迪米。娑迦多巴嘎瓦达达摩达玛那玛萨弥。苏巴提巴诺巴嘎瓦多萨瓦嘎桑哥桑哈那玛弥。那摩阿达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈多萨玛萨布达斯。那摩阿达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈多萨玛萨布达斯。那摩阿达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈多萨玛萨布达斯。布达萨拉南嘎恰弥。Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Pānāti Pātā Vēramani Sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmiAdina dana viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi Kāmesu micācāra viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi Musāvādā viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmiSuramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami Sadhu 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 Buddhaṃ pujemiDhammaṃ pujayami. Sanghaṃ pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind and maintain some more attention and we can commence our class. Okay, turn to page 1.We shall recite the opening verse for starting a sutta. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it.And I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then let us turn to page 419. So we finish the commentaries. So now we go to the sutta. If in this line you encounter the door of the sudden teaching, you will be suddenly enlightened to your self nature and see the honor of the world. If you wish to cultivate and aspire to Buddhahood, you will know where the truth is to be sought of. Unless you can see the truth within your own mind, this truth, which is the cause of realization, which is the cause of realizing Buddhahood, not to see yourself nature, but to seek the Buddha outside. If you think that way, you are deluded indeed. I now leave behind the Dhamma door of the sudden teaching to liberate worldly people who must cultivate themselves. I announce to you and to all future students of the way, if you do not hold this view, you will only waste your time. No wonder they rejoice, because this is the final message of Kuei-ning. This is very important. So let us go through paragraph by paragraph. If this line you encounter the Dhamma door of the sudden teaching. What is the Dhamma door of the sudden teaching? You remember? There is a gradual teaching. There is a sudden teaching. What is the Dhamma door of the sudden teaching? Whose teaching is this, the sudden teaching? You all cannot remember. We went through in the middle of the sutta, I think, somewhere the novice chapter. What is sudden teaching? Why the word sudden? What is this word? Sudden teaching. The key word is sudden. So what is this word? Sudden. Pass the mic to PG.
It is the teaching of Kuei-ning, which is a sudden awakening.
Yes, very good. So here, sudden teaching means sudden enlightenment or awakening. That's why I used to share with you all. Wisdom is such. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. So this sudden teaching leads to sudden awakening or enlightenment. And it is always this way. Even the gradual school, they call it the gradual teaching. They think it's gradual, but it's actually sudden. That's why they go and differentiate. Because in the northern school, taught by Shen Xiu, the other Shen Xiu is the other Shi Xiong, Da Shi Xiong, this fifth patriarch school. He's supposed to inherit the patriarchship, but finally it was Kuei-ning. So this southern teaching is the southern school, they call it. Southern school. Because it belongs to Kuei-ning. Kuei-ning's teaching. Then the second one is gradual. Gradual teaching. So this one, they thought, enlightenment is gradual. So this is the northern. school. They think you must cultivate. Then as you cultivate, you gradually develop the understanding, then you become enlightened. Before you understand the teaching, which one you think is logical? You always think the second one is there. Because everybody says, you practice lah, you cultivate lah, one day you will become enlightened. Then when they tell you Mahayana, Pure Land teaching, the sudden school, suddenly you become enlightened, awakened. You sure don't believe it, especially if you are Theravada. Where got such thing? Huh? No need to meditate, no need to cultivate. Noble Eightfold Path, for the truth, just chant, suddenly enlightened. Because people cannot understand. It's nothing to do with whether you chant or not. So the southern school of Huineng, like what PG came to know, it brings about, it leads to sudden enlightenment or awakening. And this is possible because it takes you direct to the true mind. The self-nature. That's why you can awaken. That's why today's topic, I didn't even know about today's topic. I never prepare. I seldom go and read whatever is next, unless there is condition before you start the class. Yeah, I got time, I will look at it. But today I reply one WhatsApp to my uni-mate, because last weekend, recent weekend, last Friday, 31st, we had our 58 years anniversary. Primary school until secondary school. So there were a lot of my classmates since standard one until form six. They were together with me. Then some came after form one. Then some came after form three. They joined us in form four. Then some joined us in form six. So we had that gathering. Then I saw so many people expressing their joy and all those things. Then I also, I make use of the 10 minutes or so to send a very good message to thank the organizing committee and my teachers. So it brings forth great memories and reminiscences of what we did when we were young. During our childhood days. I went to the primary school with some of my classmates to see. It was so different now. Last time, small size. We think the field is very big. We think the school is very big. We think the canteen is very big. Everything appeared big to us. And the teacher was so tall. But when we went back, we were amazed. Then some of the classmates asked, did we really squeeze 40 over of us into this very small classroom? Well, last time our class was very big. We got 10 classes. A, B, C, D, until I don't know, H or what. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. Almost 10 classes, of course, arts and science. So I didn't really go through. But then just now when I read that paragraph, I know why the thunder and the rain. Because this is, like I said, the end of our sharing. And this topic is very important. That's why they rejoice. I think they expected this teaching to be shared. I read again. If in this life... Listen, you encounter the Dhamma Dao, the sudden teaching, you will be suddenly enlightened to your, you don't want to thank the sutta. If in this life you encounter the Dhamma Dong, the sudden teaching which you have already encountered, what will happen to you? You will suddenly? To your self nature. This is your blessing. These are the conditions, and this is the teaching. That's why you have the parami, you have the condition. Like I told PG on the way he drove me here, I said, this window is very rare. Then like the opening verse, if you have the condition to be born a human being, and the condition to encounter the true teaching, the Buddha Dharma, what are you waiting for? Means you have your parami, you have your path. Then Hui Ning make it even more clear. If in this life you encounter the Dhamma Dong, the sudden teaching, which you already encounter, you will be suddenly enlightened to your self nature. This is what he meant by the sudden teaching, the sudden enlightenment or awakening. Because he take you direct to the true mind, no thought, the silent mind, and that will awaken. No need to wait. All this gradual, they don't understand. That's why they practice, and do all those thought-based meditation. But finally, they reach sudden enlightenment. Well, when you are able to realize the true mind, the silent mind, then during those moments, the condition will arise when your ability to inherit your past and to have the silent mind to realize your true nature or true mind. That's why you will come to realize your self nature. And this self nature is very different, very powerful. It can bring about enlightenment, awakening. That's why in the second paragraph, now we read on. You will suddenly enlighten to your self nature, comma, and see the honor of the world. Understand? That's how you will understand truth, you will understand life. So if you wish to cultivate and aspire to Buddhahood, you won't know where the truth is to be sorted unless you can see the truth within your... what is this mind? This is your self-nature. This is also your mundane mind. That's why he used a neutral word. So when you can see the mundane and the super mundane truth within your mind, your nature, then this is the true cultivation, the true Buddha Dharma. Otherwise, you are wasting your time. That's why he said, this truth, which is the cause of realizing Buddhahood. So make this understanding clear. If you don't meditate to realize the silent mind, to awaken to it, you are wasting your time. All those are thought-based meditation, doesn't lead to awakening. The next few paragraphs will tell you the reason. Not to see your self-nature, see, the key word is not to see your self-nature, but to seek the Buddha way. Outside means what? You go and look for them through your mundane mind. You look outside. Phenomenal world of consciousness. Then you got a lot of what? Views, opinion, teaching, ideology, rites and ritual, and all those things. You will get lost. Matter, technique. You cling on to this, you cling on to that. Then you go all to look for truth. But truth is within, like I used to share with you all. What happens if the seeker is the sick? Who is the seeker? The form of mind is the seeker. But the true gem is inside your nature, your self nature. You run all over to look for truth when the real truth is within. That's why they always say seek within. Hui Guang Fan Zhao means develop awareness from within to understand what is going on. Then finally, when you understand the external phenomenal world, through your wisdom, they will lose power. They will not have power over you. Then what happens? then you understand your mind realizes itself cease. Then when it ceases, it realizes its own self-nature, truth. That is the enlightenment. That is what you are searching for. That's why the searcher is the search. You search within. You don't search outside. Outside is the phenomenal world of consciousness. Mundane mind, not real. They are impermanent. Lead to suffering. Empty. Non-self. Not a permanent and changing entity. That's the reason why the sutta say, not to see yourself nature, but to seek the Buddha outside. If you think that way, you are? You are what? Next page. Louder, louder. Ah, deluded indeed. I now leave behind the Dhamma door of the sudden teaching. So this is his last message, the sudden teaching. To liberate worldly people who must cultivate themselves. Nobody can do it for you, understand? That's why the Buddha cannot give you wisdom, cannot make you enlightened. Like the Buddha said, he can only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself. Buddha merely show the way. We ourselves must walk the path. Buddha merely showed the way. Well, this is a realization. Each and every living being, form and mind, must awaken on their own. Like I used to tell you, every life you come, you have a form and mind, you remember? And this form and mind must connect to realize the truth. And when that truth is being realized, awakened, that wisdom is connected to the form and mind, you remember? That is the meaning. And then that form and mind is no longer deluded. That's how you cultivate. Don't go and foolishly thinking that once you experience fantastic meditation, you equate that to enlightenment. Oh, I can do this. I realize it. But is the wisdom really there? Is the understanding really there? Without wisdom, without understanding, there is no awakening. All these are conditioned mind state. Fantastic meditation, so what? You still don't understand who are you? What are you? You still don't hold the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. You don't have right view, reading, the right thought, right speech, right action, and right alignment. You don't have the four right effort, the mindfulness, the samadhi, and all those things. That's why Huineng say, I announce to you now, he says, and to future student of the way, if you do not hold this correct view that he has left behind, you will only what? Waste your time. Whatever you do, if it's thought-based, you are wasting your time. Like Buddha Bodhidharma told the abbot and those monks, Sing Wei Ken Ben Nai. You know what is Kenpen? The basis of cultivation, the rule, the basis, is to understand your mind. If the mind also you don't understand, you are wasting your time. To understand mind means what? You must understand there are two minds. One is the mundane mind, condition arising mind. This one got duality. You understand? The other one is? The silent mind, which is your true mind. And this one can awaken. Understand? This one, no thought. See things as they are, the direct seeing. It just awakens. It just realizes. And this one is not a being. It's not a condition arising state. It's the unconditioned. It just awakens. That's why truth is to be understood. And the Dhamma is to be realized. Not through knowledge. That's why you cannot cultivate or learn vipassana. Vipassana is an insight. You have to awaken to it. Because the three characteristics need wisdom. And when you awaken, means you have the wisdom, you penetrate. You cannot learn to be wise. Learning is mechanical knowledge. You can learn to be skillful in something, to be knowledgeable, but you cannot learn wisdom. Because wisdom is an understanding, it's not a knowledge, it's not a learning. So hope you get this understood, the difference. So his final message to you is, you see, they really, really wanted this teaching. They know this teaching coming. That's why before we came, the rain. It's an abnormal sign. And I knew something. Before I start, I also told you, but I didn't know it was this teaching, this last message. That's why it's very beautiful. So this one you understand, when we finish, you got no problem with cultivation. So I read one more time the whole thing together so that you understand. So this sutta is very important. This is the final message of winning. If in this life you encounter the Dhamma door of the sudden teaching, which you have, you will suddenly enlighten to your self-nature and see the honor of the world. That's why I see the beauty of the world. If you wish to cultivate and aspire to Buddhahood, you won't know where the truth is to be sorted, unless you can see the truth within your mind, means the two minds, and mainly within your mundane mind and your true mind, your self-nature. This truth, which is the cause of realization of Buddhahood, that's why when you realize the awakening through the silent mind, we are realizing your true mind. This is the cause for Buddhahood. Your final Bodhisattva way fulfillment starts there. That's why I told you, unless you can realize your true mind, you cannot connect. You remember? You cannot inherit your spiritual nature. That's why you need to start from here. And this is the cause for the realization of the final Sammasambuddha realization, means to realize Buddhahood. Not to see your self-nature, but to seek the Buddha outside. If you think that way, you are deluded indeed. I now leave behind the Dhamma door of the sudden teaching to liberate worldly people who must cultivate themselves. Always remember, don't be lazy. Be diligent. This message, acknowledge and taken. Then I announce to you and to future student of the way, if you do not hold this understanding, you will only waste your time. Always remember. So to realize the sudden teaching, the awakening, you have to understand, you have to go through the silent mind. You have to allow your thought to cease through understanding, not through conditioned state, not through focusing, concentration. You don't go and fix the mundane mind and make it don't think. That one no use. That one enter energy field. Your mind is not a free mind, it's a conditioned state. No use. It's just like you want to train a boy. You go and punish that boy and lock him up and don't let him go out of the house thinking that he will become good. No use. The moment you're not around, that boy will go wow. Because he don't learn anything. He doesn't know the world outside, the danger. And he has a lot of imagination that outside is very good. It's just like your mind. If you fix it, control it, and do not allow it to be free, it cannot understand. Then when it develops that type of concentration, it has energy, he will think that that is beautiful, that is life. That's why he will go and join those people who get involved in illegal activity, drugs and all those things, because they see money, understand? And these people normally treat you very well, then after they ask you to do things. It's in a similar way. If you do concentration, energy field, it will lead to that. That's why it will not lead to awakening, enlightenment, understanding. So this part is very useful. Okay, we read through the commentary, we see what Xianhua had to say. Having encountered the sudden teaching of the Dayan school, you may become instantly enlightened and understand your true mind or original mind. And you see your original nature. At that moment, you will personally meet the World Honored One, the Buddha of the Ten Directions. You can see them all. This one is not true. This one is just to let you have the faithfulness. Because that nature is actually the Buddha nature. But you have to perfect them all before you can have that omniscient nature. The moment you realize your true nature is like you have a glimpse of what Nibbana is. Then you realize the unconditioned. But the perfection parami, they are not there. That's why you are not the Buddha yet. And you cannot see them. So all this, when your mind transforms, they may appear to you, their nature, when there is message to come and all those things. Or there is condition for you to understand, then it will appear. Well, this is all part of nature's law. Not that all these Buddhas and great beings will come and appear in front of you and congratulate you, no such thing. Understand? That one you can maybe sometimes be gullible. Well, you will read about it in the Sutta, like all the Buddha come and congratulate you. You think they are there? No, it's their nature, understand? It's not a being. So sometimes if you go to energy field, thought base, you may see the Buddha. That one is different. That one is consciousness and all those things. Unless you apply effort in the self nature, instead of looking outside, you will never find the genuine Buddha. So this is Xianhua's way of putting it. So you have to be careful. Your English words sometimes, the translation is not correct. He said, unless you apply effort in the self-nature. Self-nature, you cannot apply effort. You apply effort, it becomes thought-based. That's why you just relax, silent, and aware. That's why you are not careful. You think, wow, very logical. No, then you go and apply effort. What they translate is from the Mandarin word. Mandarin word. I think what Xianhua means is, Xia Kung Fu, you understand? You put in the hard work, understand? To work on all these things. But it's not applying effort. Means you develop the spiritual zeal to drive you to cultivate. Understand your mind and see your nature. This is very important. That is the way to realize Buddhahood. Understand your mind means the two aspects of mind, the mundane mind and the true mind. Then when you understand the true mind, you can cease it and silence, then you will realize your true nature. That's why see your true nature means realize it. If you do not turn the light around and seek within yourself, but run outside instead to look for the Buddha, you are being stupid. Stupid. Extremely stupid. He used such strong words. You must cultivate the Dhamma of the sudden school on your own. Do not fail to cultivate. If you do not hold the notion expressed in this version, or the understanding expressed in this verse, you are wasting your time. You will never obtain the smallest advantage. Means you cannot progress. That's why thought-based meditation will lead you astray. It will never bring you to the realization of the Buddha Dhamma, the awakening. So this is most important. That's why the sudden school is nothing except to realize your true mind, the true nature. If you know how to silence, the moment the mundane mind sees the true mind, which is always there, they will manifest. Understand? Then you can be with it, and you can understand what that thing is. That's how you realize that there is another nature apart from the thinking, the thought, the consciousness. Without thought, who are you? What are you? Ah, this is a very good question. Without thought, who are you? What are you? You are just the pure nature, the pure awareness. But when the pure awareness also ceases, then what happens? This is enlightenment. This is cultivation. This is the understanding you will realize when you are in that state. That's why the sudden teaching is very simple. The moment you go through that sensation, you understand when you come out of it, everything is understood. No need teacher. You don't need anything. The form and mind that goes through that sensation will have the understanding. Although initially he cannot express it. He doesn't know what it is. But the nature knows. When he encounters situation or problem, he will understand that these are all not real. Not what you think. That's why that mind becomes different. Okay? Any questions so far? You got any question you can ask? No question, then we go on. Page 421. Having spoken the verse, the master continued, all of you should take care after my extinction. Means what? Parinibbana, yes. That's why extinction. Parinibbana means everything still. Nothing exists. Everything becomes extinct, still. Even the pure awareness, the mundane mind, the conscious, all cease. Do not act with worldly emotion. Means what? Don't become? Don't become what? Emotional and sad. And six patria is gone. Our teacher is gone. So all these are delusions. Their nature is all the while there. They never die. It's the form and mind that segmented life. The vehicle and the tool that comes with it. The chemically conditioned form and mind. That one separate ceases to be because conditions cease to be. That's it. That's why nothing dies. Why are you going to fear that? Worry about that. Who are you? What are you? What is that? Who died? What died? After that, what happened? Those who don't understand, they got all these questions. But when you meditate, silent, and realize that nature, then you understand everything. All these are conditions arising, dependent, originating, mundane, mind state. Consciousness, mind make are they are not real. All this you will realize, you will come to understand. That's why there is no more fear, because you know all these are not you. That's why nothing dies. If nothing dies, then what happened to you? If nothing dies, what happened to you? When you came, you are the form of mind. This is not real. This is not you. That's why the Buddha said, when nothing dies, means this is not you. Then what happened to that form of mind? It just separate. Conditions cease to be dispersed. Understand or not? The physical form returned to nature, element. The form of mind cease. Finish. Because no more avijja to cause rebirth consciousness, to continue with the becoming, the birth and the death. No more. It just ceases. Then the realization of that nature, there is no one to realize. Understand? It's the mundane mind sees that Then the mundane mind that is connected will know, because after that, the mundane mind will come back. Because you haven't ceased through Parinibbana. You only go through Nibbana. I won't say experience Nibbana, where there is nothing to experience. It just ceases and realizes that state. Yeah. But that state is not a condition state. It's not a mind state. It's not anything that you can describe. Because it's the unconditioned. So this understanding is very important. Okay, then we continue. If you weep in sorrow, receive condolences, or wear mourning clothes, you are not mine. But don't go and become rigid. When your parents die, you refuse to wear the mourning. I tell you, that is being deluded. But you don't take it literally. He said, you are not my disciple. Means you don't understand that these are not important. These are worldly things. These are worldly duality. You don't become so rigid until, oh, my master died already. I must mourn for him. For how long? I must wear this for how long? These are right and ritual. That's why Hui Ning say, do not act with worldly emotion. If you weep in sorrow, that one is understandable. Means you still have suffering, then you are not his disciple. But when you receive condolences, don't go and panic. Hui Ning say, I'm not his disciple if I receive condolences. So people send you, with great condolences, and all those things. You say, I cannot receive. You reply back WhatsApp, like, please don't send. This is a bit foolish, understand? You are in the conditioned world, as long as you understand that these are not important. No reality in the ultimate sense. Means, within the unconditioned Dhamma, there is no such thing. But within the conditioned Dhamma of the conditioned world, there is such thing as karma. There is such thing as good mind state. Those who are sincere, that they send you condolence, it's a good mind state. Understand? They feel for you. They're scared if you are not enlightened. You will be affected. That's why they send you their condolence. You feel good. But when you have the Dhamma, all this is not real, not important, redundant. Then whether to wear the mourning clothes or what, is up to you. Understand? If you want to express your filial piety, it's your heart. But you have a society that look at you, understand? So don't create unnecessary misunderstanding or condition for negativity or mind state to arrive. Where people will comment, what type of child is this? No filial piety, nothing. Parents die also don't want to wear the mourning clothes and all those things. And the worst is, nobody cry. Funeral not like funeral. That's what happened when my father passed away. Then later my mother, because influenced by the elderly, started to ask my brother and sister to cry. Then she also cried. Then my brother told me, after that, I talked to my mother. Then my mother understand. Then suddenly, he also doesn't cry anymore. I say, you want to end up like the elder and their family, their life is so miserable, then you go and cry. I say, why should you cry? Dad has done his duty very well. He has done everything that a parent can do. And he is one of the most beautiful dad, very responsible. So he will have good life, I told my mother. No need to cry. Filial piety is when he is alive, not after he dies. Then crying is like acting that you have filial piety. No point. So those who understand will not do that. Then Hui Ning put it, you are not my disciple. For that is contrary to the proper Dhamma. See? Now you understand, this is not proper Dhamma. But don't be rigid. So simply recognize your own true mind or original mind and see your own original nature or true nature, which is neither. You know why is it neither moving nor still? nor produce, nor extinguish, neither coming or going, neither right nor wrong, neither dwelling or departing. You remember the Heart Sutta? It's exactly like, well, this is in true emptiness. True emptiness, there is no such thing as you can describe. And the description, for those who don't understand, they will say, yeah, there is neither any movement or stillness. But they cannot understand. To them, they think, if it's stillness, tranquility, then no movement. That's why they will have that idea. But for those who have penetrated the ultimate truth in true emptiness, there is no world, no duality. Even the Dhamma also don't exist. That's why there is no such thing as birth, death, sickness, and enlightenment. All these are not real. Four noble truths also don't exist. There is the unconditioned. So this part you have to develop the understanding. Then we go through the commentary. We see what Xuan Hua has to say. The master said, unlike common vulgar worldly folk, do not make an emotional display of your feeling. Don't behave like that. Don't weep tears like rain to irrigate the field. My disciples have to obey me. If you do such thing, not only are you not my disciple, but you are also contradicting the Buddha nature or the Buddha Dharma, the teaching. Do not strike out false thinking. Don't fail to put it down. Don't fear to break through it. You must see through it, smash it, and put it all down. Then you can be free. Means don't attach to rites and ritual. Don't become emotional because no reality. You understand? No mark of a self cultivating, no mark of others, no mark of life, no mark of Dhamma. So this is all very beautiful. If we are not supposed to mourn, then what should we do? The disciple wonder. What do you think you should do? What do you think you should do? During the Buddha's time, it happened. What do you think you should do? You remember Ananda was so sad. He was only a Sotapa. Whereas those who understand, they will recall the Buddha's word. He who sees me sees the Dhamma. So, work hard on what? Cultivating the Dhamma. That is the highest respect for him. Understand or not? Gratitude towards him. That he came to the world to share with you what? The Dhamma. And he who sees the Dhamma sees him. You want to be close to him, you better realize the Dhamma. The truth. Where he is the embodiment of wisdom and virtue. So you see the Dhamma, you see truth, you see the Buddha nature. That's what you should do. Your respect should be towards the teaching that he has given you. To be worthy of him, you must diligently realize his teaching. Understand his teaching. Then you are close to him. Otherwise, you are far away from him. You can go and cremate, cry in front of him, but you are not close to him. Because you have not realized the Dhamma, the true teaching that he has shared with you. So here, Xuan Hua says, recognizing your original mind, what is it like? It doesn't move, and it isn't still. It doesn't come or go. It's not right or wrong, good or bad, black or white, long or short. It doesn't say it doesn't live. Oh, sorry, it doesn't stay and it doesn't live. It's neither here nor there. Work to see the self-nature. Understand your mind. then you will not have wasted your time. So this one is just a repeat of what Hui Ning said. Okay, next page. Because I'm afraid that your confused mind will misunderstand my intention, I will instruct you again so that you may see your nature. So this one is for you, especially for you. He's scared you're still confused. After my extinction, means Hui Ning's Parinibbana, continue to cultivate accordingly, as if I were still present. Understand? You know how can you do that or not? You don't go and assume he is still present, no. Because his nature is all the time there, all the time around. So you actually, with that understanding, you know he didn't die. That's why he said, after my extinction of Parinibbana, continue to cultivate accordingly, as if he is still around. Understand? As if he is still present, which is true. Well, his nature is still there. Should you disregard my teaching, then even if I were here or remain in this world, you would not obtain any benefit. So even he is around, if you don't follow his instruction and his teaching, it will not benefit you. He further spoke this verse. Firm. Do not cultivate the good. High. Do not do evil. Still. Cut off sight and sound. Vast, the mind unattached. So this one is giving you further hint, further understanding or instruction. So when you are firm, commentary, we go to the commentary now. Firm, meaning not moving. Thus, unmoving, clear, and constantly bright. Do not cultivate the good. Does not mean that you should not cultivate good. It just means that you should not be attached when you cultivate the good. So don't be like that greedy-minded ghost emperor Wu of the Liang dynasty, who thought, look at all my merits. High means happy and cheerful, independent and content from morning to night. Do not do evil, does not mean that you can think. I'm not attached to doing evil. So it is no problem. Attached or not attached, you should not do evil. What is evil? Killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct. So Shen Hua is talking about the precepts. If you have the understanding, you can look at it differently too. This is Shen Hua's explanation. So here, be firm. Do not cultivate the good. To me, this is to avoid your delusion. Cultivate good means what? Good according to you is not the true good. Understand? So don't make the mistake of focusing on merits, doing good. Well, that is greed for merit. What was the instruction from Hui Ning? Realize your self nature, true nature. And of the three important hallmarks of his teaching, the first one is no thought. That's why we work towards that one. How to realize no thought? We better go through this revision again. How to realize no thought? How to silence? Because I already share with you the Buddha Dhamma. The Buddha say what? When the mental hindrance are there, what happens? Means you lack the spiritual faculty. That's why they are there. And when they are there, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness, which is a silent mind. That's why you cannot be silent. Understand or not? Then what are the four support that I teach you? Relax. Don't try to do anything. The doing is by the thought. Make it active. Then how to be silent? That's why relax and just allow it to be. Understand or not? Which is the third way that the Buddha teach. Aware. Like the bullock cart go through the pool of water. If nothing stirs, the water will be clear. That's why the silent mind will arise. You just maintain awareness. Silent, relax, and just away. Then this mind will go back to its natural state, where you don't stir it through thinking, through fear, through emotion. Understand? You don't go and introduce things that create projection of mind. You don't recall through memory your fear, your phobia, and all those things. So when you meditate, just relax, aware. Then everything will slow down and still. Then the silent mind will appear. This is the real meditation. But when it happens this way, there is still no wisdom. But at least you can realize the silent mind. The true mind. Then to develop the wisdom is the fourth way. Trace the origination factor. Here you have to come out to live life. When you come out to live life, you are no longer in the form of meditation. You cannot every time got problem go and sit silent. No use. Because it's not practical. You have to live life. So every time you come out, you are not peaceful. You have to develop the wisdom. Without wisdom, the peace cannot come. Understand? The silent mind in the midst of life, that is the real samadhi, cannot arise. So you trace the origination factor through Dhamma Nupassana. Through mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. How the external sense bases through sense data upon contact trigger of mental consciousness. Then you input the content and you stir your mind. That's how you become deluded. That's how the sankhara start. That's how the mind become agitated. That's how the emotion, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, and all this come in. That's why the mind cannot silent and still. Because when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel something, or think, you don't know how to handle. You don't have wisdom at the moment of sense experience. So what you do? You stir your mind to like and dislike. Sensual desire and view. That's what mental hindrance is all about. So you learn to straighten your view. Next time I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I take out with you and think, how can I not be affected? How can I be at peace? So I have to learn what the Buddha taught me. I have to learn to see things as they are. True or not? When I see things as they are, means I realize nature is nature. Condition like that, things will be like that. If I can accept, I'm at peace. So human being is part of nature. Understand? They are just the way they are. When they are deluded, they do deluded things. When they are emotional, they become emotional beings. When they are greedy and selfish, they do selfish things. So when I can accept them for what they are, and I can accept the world for what they are, then there is right view, there is wisdom. People are just the way they are. Thing is just the way they are. The world is the world. It can't be otherwise. Condition like that things. So initially, I just accept. The moment I accept means what? I don't create duality. True or not? I don't go and argue right and wrong, good or bad. That's how the mind can cease and return to its silent state. That is for daily mindfulness. And when this wisdom stabilizes, every moment of sense experience, that wisdom which is yoniso manasikara will be there. And when it is there, feeling will remain as pure feeling. It is not like before. It will not stir. It will not react. It will not create reality. That's how you transform. Last time, I think Ingby and Adeline asked a question about duality, remember? Then I explained to you, it's exactly the same teaching. That's how you break free. You understand? So when you are able to do this, then maintain it, then finally you trust your nature. When you trust your nature means without thought, the nature goes in. This is after you have developed the silent mind, the understanding of the true mind. When you realize that, then you relax and silence everything and trust. Trust the nature to do means don't use thought anymore. Just silence, relax, and trust. Then, like you are dead, like the whole physical body is dead. Dead means what? You cannot respond, understand? Itchy also cannot scratch. Here you are dead, understand? So that tactile consciousness, let it arise. That is what patient endurance is all about. You see how it stimulates you, how it triggers you to scratch, and the thought to arise, the sankhara. But when you can silently relax and aware and trust, sankhara cannot arise. Then this will become stable. Deeper and deeper and deeper. Then suddenly all your energy will melt into the gateway. That's how it will happen. Internal transformation. And then you will realize the true mind very clearly. Very stable. Then you know what that thing is. And the form and mind will understand. Well, by then, the wisdom is connected. So this is how you develop the silent teaching, the sudden teaching, the enlightenment, the condition to awaken. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because this is the final summary already. You make sure you understand this. Then you follow this very fast. You awaken, you transform. And you will realize that self nature, and that is the cause of Buddhahood. Everything will follow after that. Okay? Then we see what Shenhua had to say about his poem. Of the 10,000 evil, licentiousness is the word. What is licentiousness? What is that? What is the meaning of that word? Oh, sexual misconduct. Oh, thank you. That is the worst. Never do that. Do not walk down the road of death. So do not walk this road. Do not do evil. Oh, is it? Siamu is what? Sexual misconduct. Oh, say lo, si lu. That is correct. Do not walk this road. This is the dead road. Means like the heedless are as if dead. Si lu yi tiao. Still, cut off sight and sound. This state is peaceful. By not producing deviant thoughts at the gate of the six sense organs. Means this one is Dhammanupassana. Mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense. Six internal and six external sense bases. You see here, when they use the word cut off sight and sound, it's not that accurate, understand? You don't cut, understand? True wisdom, you understand. That's why you have to develop stillness through understanding. Then you will come to a point where you understand. Think also like that, don't think also like that. So why do you want to think? That's why the mundane mind cannot arise. So you no need to cut anything. Where that cutting is by the thought. So here they say, cut off deviant sight and sound means the wrong thought, understand? Born on seeing consciousness and hearing consciousness. So this one is actually at the four right effort level. It's still not wisdom. For example, if people are speaking improperly, don't listen. But you don't like what Ananda told the Buddha, then the Buddha reprimanded him. Yeah, because there is somebody from another teacher. He came and told Ananda. Ananda thought it was very logical, very good. He said, Buddha, Buddha, he said, oh teacher, this guy is not bad. He learned this teaching. See no evil, hear no evil, think no evil. Then you are peaceful, isn't it? Logical, isn't it? The Buddha immediately reprimanded Ananda. When did I teach you this? Because the Buddha said, you must see and yet not affected. You must hear and yet not affected. You must arise the thought, and yet you are not deluded by it. That is wisdom way. Otherwise, you are surprising Ananda. Don't want to see, don't want to hear, don't want to think. You are surprising them, Ananda. You are not cultivating. That's why you cannot do that. Okay, then we go to the next one. So here, this part, don't follow what Shenhua say. Cut off deviant sight and sound. For example, if people are speaking improperly, don't listen. Vast, the mind unattached. This mind is, this mind's capacity extend throughout the universe and fill up heaven and earth. It is high, great, broad, vast, limitless and unbound. It is not attached anyway. So this is Shenhua's explanation. The true understanding is the third hallmark of winning. You know what is the third hallmark of winning? Non-dwelling. So what is dwelling? So no thought. No mark. And no dwelling. Non-dwelling means your mind doesn't dwell anywhere. This one means there is no center for the mind to dwell. Means no center for the mind to dwell. That's how I used to use the other word. When you are able to have this spacious awareness without a center. Spacious awareness without a center. This is the true meaning of vast. This is your true mind is the oneness with the whole nature. So when you are silent, without a center, means you are just aware. I call it spacious awareness without a center. Because your mind can only be without dwelling on two occasions. One is spacious awareness without a center. The other one is specific phenomenal awareness. When you are aware and with the specific phenomenon, then this mind doesn't dwell. It just flows with it. Like the moving car, the awareness and that motion is together. Understand? There is no gap. Like anapanasati, the breath and the awareness move as one. You don't dwell anywhere. You are being just aware. And this awareness is specific phenomenon. This is active. This one is active. This one is non-active. It's just aware. This one can live life. Specific phenomenal awareness can live life. Two types of non-duality. Now can understand. There are two types of non-duality. One is spacious awareness without a center. So this one you have to make a note. This is non-active. So this one is specific phenomenal awareness. What is it? On the light, so that they can see. No, never mind, on the light, so that they can see. Otherwise, at the back is not that clear. The black ink, I think, is not thick enough already. Pass the mic for the recording.
Brother Teo, no thought, I think there's something missing in the T.
Oh yes, thank you, the spelling. You are right, there is a T missing. Thank you, okay, thanks for pointing that out. Otherwise, you take a camera shot, then you put it into the website. People say, no dough, no thought. Thank you for pointing out. Very good. Any questions so far? Yes. Get the mic back. So this one, vast means different from Xuanhua. Xuanhua, he tell you all those things based on his understanding.
Active and non-active, brother, elaborate more because both are awareness. Okay, very good. Spatial awareness, how come it's non-active but it's still an awareness with relaxed? This one, no movement. You understand? There is no movement. It's just aware. No movement.
So this one is no movement. This one is active because specific phenomenon, that phenomenon moves. Like that moving car, the awareness is, like anapanasati, your breath is emotion, but you are aware, where it's specific phenomenal awareness. Your awareness follows this phenomenon. That's why it's active. And this one can live life. That's why throughout the day, my mind is like that. That's why when I sit here, It's specific phenomenal awareness, where your movement and all those activities, like your blinking of your eye, the way you turn your head, my nature can see that it's specific phenomenal awareness. Like this motion of the fan, no words, the awareness is with it. You understand? So this one is active. This is for living life. This is daily mindfulness. And yet you don't dwell. When you dwell means you are lost in that thing that you dwell on. Let's say you dwell on the Buddha image. Then you start to proliferate your thought. Oh, this Kuan Yin is very nice, must be very ancient. Then the serene image and all this. I mean, you dwell there, you create thought there. Understand?
So the non-active cannot live life.
Cannot. This one is for when you are in a formal meditation, when you are in a retreat, you silence everything. Like when you are on the boat, you remember? When you are on the boat, you silence everything. Then that movement, that motion becomes specific phenomenal awareness. Understand? But when you silence, you are in this mode. Understand? Then whatever you pick up, you are aware, becomes specific phenomenal awareness. But when you start to think, your mandate might come out. Understand? When you start to form words, then starts to explain to people, your mandate might come out. Understand? But inside, empty. Inside, nothing. Because from the nature, it manifests. So this form of mind is a vehicle, understand? For my nature to come and perform the function of this life, this segmented life, you call Pradatio. But this is my nature. My nature lead this vehicle to come to this world. And to do whatever it wants. So this is the vehicle and the tool that I use to manifest, to share or whatever. So this one need thought. It uses thought. But it's not deluded. Because this one is connected. This form of mind, when it's enlightened, or we call it a human being, for this life. When it's connected, it has the wisdom there. When it's enlightened, this wisdom is connected. And because this wisdom is connected, you can say this form of mind is enlightened. But this is not you. You understand? This form of mind is not you. So this one is condition arising, dependent originating, impermanent, little suffering, empty, not real. So this one is not real. So this is the complete understanding. So when you use this connector, then this one is a vehicle and a tool for this segment of my nature's life to come. So it makes use of this to share, to teach, to fulfill its vow, to continue with its cultivation, its perfection, and all those things. So you have to understand the condition world. The law within the conditioned world, this form of mind is subjected to it. Understand not? But this is not the unconditioned. The realization of the true mind, that is the unconditioned. That's why within that one, none. None of all this. The teaching, everything is not there. Okay? So this one, the wisdom, the moment this form of mind, parinibbana or disperse, this form of mind also will just disappear. You remember why I accepted the image that this clan Sumeru gave to me? Because my nature realized all this wisdom that I share, the energy from my nature, the vibration, lost. When I teach, it was there. Understand? Stay for a while. Those who can draw, draw. Cannot draw, God. That's why I accepted the image where the crystal can retain those vibrations. That's why my house, all the images, a lot of wisdom energy there, the nature. Then Suyang's house also said. Then everywhere I go, all this will receive. Then when we travel, our collective consciousness, everything is different. Then when we go and pay respect and do all those things and chanting, those vibrations will go in. Understand? That's why all these images that are there for very long, like the stupa and all those things, they have their vibration. Even your SJPA, that rupa, a lot of energy inside there, but mainly not those wisdom energy, not that much. It's a lot of thought-based energy, but strong. Because the chanting, the vibration, the concentration. We have people do all sorts of meditation there. But it has this vibration inside there. Initially, it was a lot of those very strong thought-based energy. Energy field. Then later on, when I went there and gave some talk and sharing, then it starts to become different again. It integrates into that rupa. So now they got a new extension block. They got a new rupa. Is that crystal? Marble is good. Good. That type is good. Don't go and use the fiberglass. Fiberglass will not retain those vibration and energy. It cannot. It's not crystal. It don't have that type of crystal formation. Okay.
I just want to ask, these two awareness, the two types of non-dwelling awareness, both of them are in silent awareness.
Because for you to have the first one, you have to be in complete silence. No movement. Just aware. The four support. After you relax, you maintain awareness. Then that one, spacious awareness, you don't even stay at the heart. Understand? If you stay at the heart and trust, then you develop the ability for the gateway to open. For all your energy to go in and do the internal transformation. But this one is only needed when you need to go the Bodhisattva way. Understand? That trust. If you are not going the Bodhisattva way at that time, means not in the formal meditation, then you can just experience the spacious awareness, especially in the retreat. But finally, because most of us will take the vow, you have to go and do this, the trust, so that the gateway will open. Then when your gateway opens, you become very different, I tell you. All your energy from outside, whatever mindfulness energy or even your qigong, yoga, and everything, they will melt inside. And they will become pure energy. That's why it's not wasted. Then they will transform internally. And this is the real, we call it the opening of the internal chakras, the internal movement, the internal activation, awakening of the, what they call, the nerve centers. Nerve center got two types. Major are called chakras. Minor are called nadis. That's how it will awaken your nadis. And you become very sensitive, super sensitive. It will steal your consciousness. And when this one went in, its vibration becomes so fine because it becomes pure energy. Then not long, your mundane mind will collapse. Well, your mundane mind cannot take that vibration. When it becomes very fine, your mundane mind cannot exist on that frequency. That's why it will collapse. Then it will drop off. And at that time, your nature shines forth. Your true mind, your true nature. Not only is with you, it shines forth. Then first time in your life, you suddenly see the whole phenomenal world differently. Understand? You know why different? Now you are fully aware. Because there is no mundane mind to cloud you. No only block. There is no sankhara. It's like you don't have a mind. Everything becomes so smooth. No movement at all though, inside there. It's like that mind becomes so fine. Like no mind at all. Everything is so fine, so still. I still remember, for about 1 week, I was so amazed. I said, how come last time I see the world so different? Now, truth is everywhere. That's why I realized, why can't you see? If you see, you always see. And the world never changed. It was still the same. But now, no more mundane mind to cloud you. You see things as they are. That's why I cannot practice one. No need to practice one. You no need to wait till the mind still. And no need to practice mindfulness after that, because you're fully aware. It has become a part of your nature. That's true mind shrinking. And you know why Hui Ning is so unique and exceptional. He was born without the mundane mind. Understand? He was already in that enlightened state when he was born. Ours need to go to the gateway to cause it to collapse. That's why I say his nature is fantastic. He can have that type of vow and ability to connect the moment he is born. Normally, you only connect to your karma, karmic nature. He straight away connect to his spiritual nature. That's why he only need truth. The moment he hear truth, he awakened. Well, his mind was without dwelling. That's why he heard that Diamond Sutta, the mind must have no dwelling. He understood straight away. Well, his mind never dwell. His mind is always either spacious awareness or specific phenomenal awareness. His mind cannot do anything else. Well, his mind doesn't have the mundane mind. That's why he doesn't understand how mundane people live. He has to later on learn. I think he must have gone through the process, like when I came out to share in the year 2004. I thought what people need is the Dhamma. After the Dhamma, you sure can understand and progress. Then I realized it's not the way. Even the basic, essential Dhamma also living beings don't understand. So you share the Dhamma, no use. Because they cannot follow you, they cannot understand what you are trying to tell them. And all this truth, it's not easy for human beings, unless you have your past cultivation. Then you have the affinity, the condition like this time you all. Then you got the chance to listen to all this teaching and this sharing. When I started, the first few years, I tell you, if I teach like that, everybody run away. Nobody understands what I'm trying to share. That's why I go back to basic essential Dhamma. I teach the three turning, the Four Noble Truths, and I keep on repeating in Suyan's house, the Thursday class. What did I teach? The five mental hindrance, the five spiritual faculty. Then later on, I expand a bit, three evil root, the seven factor of enlightenment, then the four foundation of mindfulness and honesty. So, not easy. And I did not even teach Hui Ning's teaching there, you realize that? Until recently. I only teach the higher teaching at the Tuesday class and the Sunday class, where they were conditioned and they wanted this sutta. Thursday, no sutta. Thursday is all meditation, Dhamma sharing. It's more for beginners and those who want to learn the essential Dhamma. Then develop the cultivation accordingly. So it turned out to be beautiful. We have Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class, all different. Then last time I used to give weekend Dhamma sharing or Friday class Dhamma talk in Klang. So during that time when I share, it's different again. But the Klang old center there, somehow the Kuan Yin there is very, very beautiful. Every time I go and deliver a talk, a lot of important essential Dhamma and understanding unfolded. That's why we transcribed a lot of books based on those talks. In fact, all the talks there are very beautiful. Okay?
But when our awareness is aware of the breathing, whether in or out, or when we are silent, aware of our heartbeat, so we are actually at the active specific phenomena awareness. And then when
yes.
let's say
yeah.
we have
but more important, important is I have to explain a little bit more. When you are doing anapanasati, you don't try to link to all this yet. You just do. Well, anapanasati is the first training to develop mindfulness. Mindfulness, you use your meditation object, which is the breath, to anchor the mind. So these are for people whose spiritual faculty is not stable. That's why they need something to anchor the mind. Then as you become more and more stable, this mindfulness become more and more still, more and more quiet, more and more refined. So from the beginning of anapanasati, you will experience a type of calmness, a type of peace called piti. That one is still gross. The mind is still gross. But you feel calm. It's not the Hitler thinking mind anymore. You are more calm. You are more peaceful. Then you continue to relax, aware. What happens? It becomes more refined. Then you experience sukham, blissfulness, really blissful. So all this, if you are not careful, you will attack. But these are conditioned state. This is not enlightenment factor. Then you have to continue to relax and allow it to become more and more refined until the sukham also gone. Gone means what? Where gone means no more of this energy. Understand now? Whether it's blissful energy, calmness energy, born of a mindful state of mind, all this gone. Then your mind becomes very quiet, very still. That is pasati. Pasati, that's why the translation is tranquility of mind. You remember? Tranquility and stillness of mind. Pasati. So this is tranquility or stillness of mind. Means the mind is very quiet, very still, and very tranquil. This is the silent mind. This is your meditative mind. That's why people don't understand. So when you hit this, don't go and do sitting touching. Understand? Because they say the breath very subtle. No more breathing, understand now? All your abdomen rising and falling, non-perceptible. It's actually your mind enter pasati. It becomes quiet, still. This one will let you realize the true mind. But they don't know what they do. They want to meditate. So what they do? They go and ask you to aware of what? Sitting, touching. You go and do what? You create thought again. Even if they silent, it's what? The tactile consciousness. When you are there, you make your thought active. Then you try to bring in the Dhamma knowledge. Oh, now I am doing sitting, touching. Then you verbalize that. Sitting, touching, sitting. You continuously doing thought-based meditation without understanding. Why you go and label it? When this thing happens, don't do anything. Relax, aware. Then see what happens. Until this one becomes very, very still. Very stable. Then from pasati, it develops and accumulates into samadhi. Understand? Samadhi is the stability of pasati. When pasati becomes very stable, you have samadhi. Samadhi is unwavering mind. Collected and unwavering. Means what? Means when you come out of the formal meditation, where you can develop this specific phenomenal awareness until very stable, then this becomes samadhi. Your pasati becomes samadhi. Your pasati is the silent mind that is aware. Specific. Then this one becomes samadhi. When this one becomes samadhi, you can start to see things as they are. Means your mind will not stir anymore. Then you realize everything is not what your thought tell you anymore. Your mind stir because of what? Your wrong view. You input wrong view. That's why you create reality. You give rise to what Sun Siu did, understand? But to him, he has to cultivate. He has to push away the unwholesome thought. He only wants the wholesome thought. Understand? So, to him, he said, this mind, you have to polish it until it shines. How does he polish? He don't use a cloth and polish. He maintained ever mindful. This is wrong. Mindfulness is an understanding. When you understand, it's a free mind. You understand? A free mind just away. No need anything. As long as there is no thought, no stirring, when your spiritual faculty is there, it's just away by itself. What is spiritual faculty? Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. Okay, this five, you ask yourself. When you have faith, your mind is composed and calm. Understand? When you have faith, you don't have doubt. It's very composed, very calm. When you have Virya, it's the tenacity that drives you to cultivate. That's why you have diligence. It's not an effort, understand? You know this is important. You will go all out to cultivate it. You understand that? So this Virya will drive your nature to continue with the development of Sati. That's why the third spiritual faculty, Sati, will come to be. Because when you have Virya, you will continue to develop the ability to be silent, to be aware, to realize no thought. Then this Sati become very stable. That's why when the Sati is very stable, means when your spiritual faculty is there, the silent mind is automatic. So no need to train. All the Anapanasati method technique is to anchor the mind so that it does not become heedless and wander off. Then they stabilize it. But when your spiritual faculty is there, no need to do anything. Because your Sada Virya will drive you to develop Sati. And when Sati is there, you continue to relax, stabilize. Sati become Pasati. Pasati becomes Samadhi. Why in the five spiritual faculty they don't want to add Pasati? Well, Pasati is the beginning. The silent mind, the tranquility mind, the stillness of mind. But the Buddha knew with Sati, you had to use it to develop the four foundations of mindfulness to arise the initial wisdom. Understand? So Pasati alone, no use. Their Pasati is an enlightenment factor, but it's not stable enough. So you have to allow Pasati to stabilize. So through specific phenomena aware. That's why throughout the day you just aware. But you don't go and maintain awareness, understand? That's why Sun Siu went wrong. He doesn't want to have any wrong thought or defiling thought. That's why he keep on like guarding the mind. That is not meditation, understand? Then how to live like? You keep on maintaining awareness. That is not the way. Your mind should be in a natural state of awareness. You don't need to guard, no need to do anything. The doing is the thought. The thought want to be aware. That's why he maintained that. Understand? That's why he went wrong. Then when he maintained that, he still had reality. That's why Huineng, the moment he hears this stanza or this poem, he straightaway knew he hasn't realized the true mind, the silent mind. The first stage of transformation, Huineng's teaching of no thought. That's why Huineng knew he has not even reached this stage. He has not realized his true nature, true mind. That's why the fifth patriarch told him, you are at the gateway of enlightenment, but you don't know how to seize your mind to go in. That's why he said, go back and write another poem to show that you have the ability. Then what did Huineng do? He tear Sun Siu apart. He said, the body is like a bohi that Sun Siu said is actually wrong. Because bohi is enlightenment. So, bohi is not a tree. Understand? So your body is not like a bohi tree. Is it bohi? Is not. But enlightenment has nothing to do with the tree. He's talking about the true mind. Then he tear apart the second one is the most important. He said, 明镜亦非台, because to sense you, sing zu ming jing tai, that is the mundane mind. Understand? It's like the reflective mind, the mundane mind that keep on reflecting the phenomenal world and all those things. On a stand, because he keep on holding on to that mundane mind, it's like on a stand. So, sing zu ming jing tai. So he's using this mundane mind to be aware to practice. Then I sense you tang. Sorry, hui ning tang ma pai. Ming jing yi fei tai. He said, that is not the true mind. That is the mundane mind. The true mind is nothing to do with the mirror bright understand. Then he went to the explanation of what the true mind is. Originally there was nothing. That's why that true mind got nothing. No mirror bright, no stand to reflect. Because there is no mundane mind. 何处惹尘埃? Then where can the dust alight? Because there is nothing inside that to hold your creation of dust and wholesomeness, the duality. No mundane mind, no duality. That's why he said, 何处惹尘埃? Where can that dust that you create alight? Because this is the unconditioned, no duality. That's why when they understood. But he still don't know how to use the mundane mind until the fifth patriarch told him later on in the Diamond Sutta. That's how he came to great awakening. So this part is very, very important. So when you do anapanasati, what you should do is you continue to relax, silent, and aware until it hit vasati. All method technique, you must hit this one. Otherwise, you cannot progress. So if you want to hit this one, why go the big round to thought-based meditation? Understand? Although the Buddha teach under the first foundation of mindfulness, he said, start with anapanasati. So that is to train you to be aware, mindful, develop sati for your spiritual faculty. That's it. After that, do the four postures. Understand? Then the daily mindfulness. Mindfulness of all action. All movement in the present moment. Sati sampajana. Means not only you aware, you have clear comprehension of what is going on. Clear comprehension is specific phenomenal awareness. You clearly comprehend. You fully aware and clearly comprehend. So this is how the cultivation is to be developed. Then when there is samadhi, your mind doesn't stay a waver or become collected, then it can see things as they are. That's how the direct seeing come about. That is how the awakening can happen. Without samadhi, it cannot. So when there is samadhi, the mind doesn't stir or waver. Means what? Means your brain is not interfering. That's why it cannot stir. That is seeing as they are. That everything that the books say and people say is not true. Then it realize Sankara anicang, Sankara dukkang, Dhamma anatta. That's why it awakened. That's right. It realized, not what people say. All of Sankara is a movement from that nature. That's why Bodhidharma told them, if you don't even know this basic nature of mind, sing wei gen ben. That's why all good and evil arise from that self nature. You understand? All good and evil arise from that self nature. That's why he says, how amazing Hui Ning says, nothing is apart from that self nature. All dhamma arise from that self nature. What is dhamma? All your duality, good and bad, everything, all your teaching, they arise from that self nature. So nothing is apart from your self nature. Just like the Tao. Everything arises from the Tao. Nothing is apart from the Tao. That's why that is a very important understanding. Then you realize, the direct seeing, the direct teaching is so clear. no thought, no knowledge, no word. It just awakened. That's how the mind become enlightened, transformed. Then the mundane mind that is connected to the former mind will understand, but it awakened. Then when it awakened, the wisdom arrived, and this wisdom is never lost. That nature retain it. But that nature can only retain it through the former mind. Without this former mind, you cannot have the gateway. You cannot connect. This wisdom cannot stay. It's just like without the rupang, the wisdom energy cannot go in. So it's just like the rupang is a former mind with the wisdom energy there, the awakening. The understanding, the wisdom. This one, when it's there, this fellow is no longer deluded. Understand? The form of mind. So if it's no longer deluded, means it's enlightened. But this is not you. This is the vehicle and the tool. This is dependent originating. This is impermanent, not a permanent unchanging entity. Where you can hold on to, cling on to, and say, this is me. This is art. Cannot. No way. So when you understand this, sakyadity gone, straight away. That's why this one will awaken. You are at least the first stage of sainthood already. Then after that, all your other factor will go. Then when you hit this one, you already beyond the sainthood way and other things. When I say you, it means your nature. It's not a physical being or a specific human being. But every life you come, you have a different segmented life. And none of this is you. And all of your whatever evolution or what they call inheritance, they are stored up in nature. We call it the karmic nature and the spiritual nature. And these two, you must understand how to use them. Develop them. Like your karmic nature. The moment you are born, you are born of it, conditioned and supported by it. You are what you are because of it. Because karma, immediate. So you have to take care of karma. That's why every life you come, you have to develop this understanding, the right view, to take care of karma. That's why the Buddha, first teaching, he talked about law of karma. His advice is just avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. This is from the right view in regards to the law of karma. Because when you don't take care of karma, your life becomes afflicted, miserable. So when you take care of karma, develop wisdom, you become different. That's how to improve your life, to change your life, to become a better living being. Personality-wise, character-wise, understanding-wise, virtue-wise, you need to follow the advice of the Buddha. Then your life will transform. You will become beautiful. You will not have so much problem. Then if life after life you have this understanding, you continue the care of karma, then when you are ready, you can also develop awakening, enlightenment. And then that time, when you connect, you perfect your spiritual nature. And this spiritual nature you can only inherit when you connect. If you don't connect, you cannot inherit. That's why this part is very unique. So the whole of cultivation center on this understanding. So today is like a very important revision. Yeah, I cut out all the thought based on. Those meditative experience all we have dealt with, not important. So now you only need to understand this and just meditate accordingly. If you have the spiritual faculty, you straight away hit this one. And this one becomes sati, daily mindfulness. That's why I say if you don't do daily mindfulness, there is no way. Sati sampajana, very important. When you do daily mindfulness, you develop specific phenomena awareness. Then when you have this spiritual faculty and this position on you, no need to really practice meditation. The moment you silent and sit, you already in sati, silent mind, samadhi. No movement, nothing, still. Why? Because your spiritual faculty is there, understand? In the midst of your daily life also you can be aware. Then the moment you don't do anything, you will straight away sati, stillness. That's why immediately, you will go into stillness. Silence. That's why I say, why practice? Why meditate? Just relax, aware, and you are there. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. Why want to be aware? Practice awareness. Who go and practice? Awareness cannot be practiced. You must understand that the moment you are without thought, you are already aware. Practice what? Who practice? The thought practice. The thought will make you more active. And you want to practice awareness. Not knowing that the person who practices is the thought. And when the thought is active, there is no sati. That's why all these sati they do are thought-based. They are not real sati. You understand now? Because they go and create a very conducive environment, so that they are so quiet and so still, then they realize, not to say realize, they are able to have that mind state that is so conducive, then they thought, this is sati. Understand now? This is not sati. This is just a conditioned state because the environment, the tranquil setting make you peaceful. Understand? That is the first type of peace. Kaya viveka means physical peace, born of environment's condition. When environment changes, your peace is gone. Understand? That's why you must be able to develop this practice in the midst of life and in the retreat. Retreat is for you to stabilize all your spiritual faculty every day so that when you come out of the retreat, you go back to society, you stand a chance. If in the retreat condition also your five spiritual faculty cannot stabilize or your mindfulness cannot stabilize, when you come out into society and back to life, you don't stand a chance. Where your six senses are active again, understand? And everything is actively manifesting. So how can you deal with life? Well, your mind moves so fast, and without a stable sati, you cannot cope with life. You cannot understand what is going on. You cannot even understand how you function. That's why the dwelling, the sati, sampajana, or you are not able. So if you can't be mindful of the daily mindfulness, you can't be aware of your subtle mind, the mental intention behind all those things, the mind state. Then all of the four foundations of mindfulness that the Buddha talked about, you can never understand. You only use theory to go and do it. You think you understand. But when your kaya nupasana, daily mindfulness is very stable, your mind is different. You start to see a lot of things that you never see because you are already quiet, silent, peaceful, less chattering. Less chattering means what? Less avijja, understand? But avijja paccaya sankhara. So when you straighten your view, you got less delusion, you got less thought. That's how you transform. That's how you progress. You can't even have a mind that is more quiet, more peaceful and aware, you are definitely on the wrong track. But if your peace, calmness, and stillness is born of an energy field, concentration, or condition state, it is not a free mind. You will be trapped. You can never, never realize the truth. To realize the truth, it has to be a free mind. In the state of pure awareness, the direct see, the awakening. Means all your mental hindrances are not suppressed. Means it's a free mind. So the free mind that is without mental hindrance means what? Means what? Means your five spiritual faculty is there. Otherwise the mental hindrance will be there. That's why you cannot have the silent mind, is because your hindrance are there. So if the free mind is without mental hindrance, means your spiritual faculty is already stable. That's why the Buddha just teach you the five spiritual faculty to overcome the mental hindrance. He don't ask you to suppress, control, and fight the mental hindrance. No. He says the moment the spiritual faculty is there, you will understand spiritual teaching. the mental hindrance, all five will be overcome. Or you can counter it with the spiritual faculty. So no need to fight the mental hindrance. No need to suppress, control, or do anything the mental hindrance. Like your light and dislike, pleasant and pleasant, sense experience, your duality. A lot of people don't understand, oh, your duality is bad. I must overcome duality. So what they do? They try to fight, control, suppress. Don't want to get angry. No use, understand? Don't want to arise duality. I don't want to comment. I don't want to have right and wrong. This is your knowledge. This is your view, understand? You are holding on to that view. That is not wisdom, understand? Well, you don't want to have duality. Everything also you don't want to be right or wrong. But when people push you, after that you get angry, you argue back. That's why that is suppression. But when you really have the Dhamma understand, you understand, you can accept them for what they are. Yeah, you are right. I'm wrong. Did you lie? Did you lie? You didn't lie. I'm wrong, according to you, understand? Will you say I'm wrong? You understand? Well, according to you, I'm wrong. So I agree. Yeah, you are right. That's why the three types of seeing, remember? Kan san, you si san. You say mountain, yeah, mountain lah. Well, you mundane seeing, to you is a mountain. Yes, it's a mountain. The one that has the direct seeing, where got mountain? Yeah, you are right. No mountain. Then people who don't understand, they say what? It is hypocrisy. When I ask, he say mountain. When this guy ask, no mountain, he say no mountain. Like your school math teacher or arithmetic primary school teacher. The student confused. 3 plus 4 also 7. 6 plus 1 also 7. He come back tell the father, my teacher, don't know what he say, teacher, stupid one. When I ask him, he says, 3 plus 4 is 7. Then another guy, 6 plus 1 also, he says 7. So he don't understand. But he don't understand the logic. You both are correct answer. So when you are wise, you can understand things the way it is, then you can be at the level of all people. That's how you can accord and flow. You can be at peace. You no need to argue. Then you don't need to award. You don't need to do anything. You just smile. Thank you for correcting me. Thank you for giving me the good advice. You express your gratitude, your thanks. And this is number 84 power. Why everything want to be right? You wrong lah. The Dhamma say like that lah. You don't understand lah. You Christian, you can. I tell you, you end up having more misunderstanding. Then he will bring his pastor and come, or his bishop and all thing come. So what are you going to do? You cannot handle, you say, can go and contact Brother Teo. You get me into trouble after that. Why you want to argue with people? Just let things be. When you let things be, things become easy. Means you are able to accept them for what they are. So in be okay, that one. So anapanasati, you don't try to link them to whether specific phenomena awareness. Forget about it. When you do anapanasati, means you are training your mind to be aware until it hit pasati. But when you develop your spiritual faculty independently, like now, you can do it already. Because your spiritual faculty has to be there. Because many retreat back, you can lie down and silent already. Otherwise, you cannot do that. Without the spiritual faculty, your awareness cannot be there. So what you need to do is to strengthen the spiritual faculty through your daily mindfulness. Your daily mindfulness, you have to really do it until throughout the day you are aware. It can come, not difficult. But when it comes, you will have a lot of joy and you will understand. Because when you have it, you realize the moment you bow, The awareness is there. Then the moment you come out, you are aware. Then all your viewpoint, everything you have, then throughout the day, like this is your new way of living life. You are just aware. then everything is aware. Right? No need to, like last time, initially look to that, better thought coming out. No more. Then everything you realize, you stand also, you turn, you aware, bending, stretching, turning, you realize exactly like in the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha said, every of these movements you are aware. Not only the four postures, everything you do. Then most of the time during that time, you are at a retreat. You just want to be silent, you don't want to talk. But you realize that one has transformed your nature. You have become very different. Then after that, whatever form of meditation or sitting are very easy. You go in with it. Then the silence, the stillness, the awareness. Then the specific phenomenal awareness, the spacious awareness without a center. It keep on coming. Then after that, the cessation keep on coming. That's how you progress. That's why daily mindfulness has to be very stable. And if you have the understanding, the virya you determine, it will come. You don't have to crave for it. You determine, and with the virya, it will drive you, and you just do. Like what I told myself. I determine to be aware. Well, I realized I hardly aware when I started doing it. Less than 5 minutes a day, I say, this is not right. I have yet to start the highest meditation, which my teacher told me, Acharyana. Then he said, he choose aware. Every action, every movement in the present moment. I try. I can't even last 1 minute. Split second is gone. Then I determine to be aware. Then through the virya, I continue to bow, walk, sit. Then when I go home, I determine to be aware. Basic movement while at home. Then lie down, aware. Wake up, aware. First thing I do is the religious routine. Means when I enter my house, I pay respect to Triple Jam. Then everything I do with mindfulness. Then I try to maintain mindfulness at home. Then later on, I bring it out to my driving. Then to my office. Then integrate with life. Finally. Initially, it's during meeting and all those things. These are active meetings. So when you are alone in your office, it's easy. When you are alone at home, it's easy. But you are active while listening to telephone, how your hand movement, how your hearing conscious, how you hold up the phone, and how you answer call, and how they respond, and how you interact. You are fully aware. So then after that, when you put back the phone, also you're fully aware. Then how you sit back, how you stand, how you walk, how you go to the washroom, and how you mindfully come back. Throughout the day in the office and all that. Then I realized within two weeks, suddenly the mindfulness came. Then I realized I was just aware throughout the day. Then everything was like different. No need to practice anymore. It has become a part of you. Then everything starts to change because it starts to see a lot of things that this form of mind never see before. Then after that, the transformation comes, the understanding comes, the awakening comes. So this is how you can develop. And this era, this condition, this window is very beautiful because the consciousness is very conducive. Especially you all have the condition to meet up with my nature. When you are around me, even on spiritual triple one, you silence your mind with the faith, you will draw. And without you knowing it, you will transform inside. Then the retreat is very important. The 9 days, a lot of things will happen. Then as you transform, the form of mind actually will know. But some of you may not know that you have progressed and become different. You know you are different, but you didn't know to what extent you progressed until later. By the time you know that, you will have a lot of joy because you realize you are completely different, transformed. Okay? Sadhu. So today, no need meditation. We finish it. Okay. We go to the next one. The vast one I completed, 4 to 3 page. So I explain what is the vast, different from Xuan Hua. Xuan Hua maybe doesn't know about this, or he can't express it at that time. Okay, the next part of the sutta, after speaking this verse, the master sat upright until the third watch, when suddenly he said to his disciple, I am going. Means what? Parinibbana already. In an instant, he changed, and a rare fragrance filled the room. You know how the fragrance comes? You mean somebody bring in perfume? No. Why? The devas come and pay respect. Understand? That's why the fragrance very strong. Fill the room. Then a white rainbow linked with the earth. And the trees in the wood turn white. See? These are nature's phenomena. Dhamma niyama. The birds and the beasts. I don't think it's correct. Cry out in sorrow. No. Of course, some will be sad, but they don't cry out in sorrow. They will pay their respect. They will pay their respect. The master commentary. The master sat meditating with his disciple until the middle of the night. At 12 o'clock, when he said, the time has come for me to go. He didn't say, see you all again. His energy was cut off. This one is not his energy. His life force ceased. And he no longer moved. He has entered Nirvana. He cannot enter Nirvana. He realized Nirvana. He changed means that he moved to a new house. No, there is no new house for him. Who moved? The flesh body, the bodhisattva. He didn't move anywhere. His nature is still there. It's only his form and mind ceases. So the form and mind ceases is because the conscious mind, the mundane mind, realizes itself and the condition no more. Means the life force cut off, then it goes into cessation. When it goes into cessation, the stillness, the pure energy, will make the body remain for a while. So this is what happened. The forest turned white because the white rainbow light shone on it. You could also say that the trees knew the master was dead. And so they expressed their grief. Actually, it's not grief. By wearing the white clothes of mourning. This is Xuan Hua adding. All the animals on the mountain cry uncontrollably. Oh no. These are nature's phenomena. Grass and trees seem to be without feeling. No, they continue as normal. But they put on mowing clothes. No, this one is all adversation. Birds and beasts, ordinary, don't understand very much. But they show for a spiritual nature and weep. Weeping, I may agree. Some may weep or cry. Then the next part of the sutta. In the 11th month, a dispute arose among the official disciples, Sangha, and ladies of the three countries of, I think county, must be counties of Guangzhou, Shaozhou, and Xingzhou. Oh, Xingzhou is his hometown. As to who should receive the true body for cremation. This one also got a story there. You know, finally how they decide. They chong hyong. They light the incense. See where the smoke direction is. And then they agree. Follow the smoke direction. the smoke. As they could not agree, they light incense and pray, saying, the master will be returned to the place indicated by the incense smoke. So the smoke went directly to Sao Si, the place of birth. And so on the 13 days of the 11th month, the reliquary and the transmitted robe and bath were returned there. In the following year, on the 25th day of the 7th month, the body was removed from the reliquary and disciple Fang Pian anointed it with incense paste. Remembering the prophecy that his head would be taken, the disciple wrapped sheet of iron and lacquer around and lacquered cloth around his head for protection, and then placed his body in the pagoda. Just then a white light appeared within the pagoda, shoot up into the sky, and did not fade for 3 days. The magistrate of Sao Zhou reported this to the emperor and received an imperial order to erect a stone tablet commemorating the master's conduct in the way. The master's spring and autumn was 76. The robe was transmitted to him when he was 24. Oh, means he passed away at the age of 76. 24 means, for 52 years. Means he continued from his awakening at the fifth patriarch temple for 52 years. Then he was with the hunters for 16 years, I think. So here they ended up. The robe was transmitted to him when he was 24 and when he was 39. Plus 15, 24 plus 15, 39. His hair was cut, means he ordained. For 37 years, he spoke Dhamma to benefit living beings. 53 people inherited his Dhamma. 43 men inherited his Dhamma. I talk of a woman also there. Don't have any bikunya. Uncountable number awakened to the way and overstepped the common law, the rope of belief transmitted from Bodhidharma, the Mona rope and precious bowl conferred by Emperor Chuang Xuan, as well as the lifelike image captured by Fang Pian and other articles of the way, were entrusted to the attendants in charge of the stupa and were permanently retained at the Baoling Bohi Mandala. For the Bohi Mandala's protection, the Platform Sutta has been transmitted to set forth the principle of our school, to glorify the Triple Gem and to benefit all living beings. So this is how it ends. So we go through Shen Hua's commentary. Those from Guangzhou went to take the body to Fasing Temple. The sixth patriarch has his head shaved here, means he renounced. He should return here now to receive offering. The Xingzhou people all said, the great master is a native of Xingzhou. He should return there, and those of Sao Zhou insisted that since the patriarch has expounded his teaching there, he should not be returned to that place. When the patriarch was alive, they had never quarreled over him, for he had been most independent. But now the master has completed the stillness, and everybody felt as if they personally had the right to remove his body and make offering to it. Wasn't the sixth patriarch originally from Xingzhou? And didn't the master himself say falling leaf returns to the roots? But the sixth patriarch himself built Nanhua Temple, say those of Sao Zhou. He really should return there. The baby left home at Guangzhou. He left his hair fall there, and his Dharma should all fall back to us. Next page. The text say they could not agree, and that indicate that the situation was extremely grave. It was a crisis. Everybody was trying to take the body away by force. They argue and argue until one intelligent person says, stop. While he was alive, we obeyed the master's instruction. Now that he is gone, we should still listen to him. Let us ask master to this. Smart fellow. But he's already dead, they say. How can he tell us where he wants to go? The master has great spiritual power, he says. And he knows all of our thought. It must displease him to see us here fighting over the right to make offering to his body. Let's light some incense, and in whatever direction the smoke drifts, that is where the master wants to go. Then no one can argue about it. The smoke went straight to Nanhua Temple, and there was nothing that the people of Guangzhou and Xinzhou could say. The lectures are now complete, and the sutta has been explained. You have undergone much suffering, but I don't know whether you realize it was suffering or not. If you felt it was suffering, you are just a common person. But if you did not feel that it was suffering, then you are just like a rock or a piece of wood. Well, was it suffering? As to my explanation, I don't know whether I explained well or bad. And I also don't know if you listen well or bad. Good and bad, get rid of them. Means go beyond duality. Explaining is just explaining, and listening is just listening. We have met because of coming affinity. We have heard the story of the Six Patriarchs' life and of his cultivation of the way. You should not look for good or bad point, but learn instead to see whether you believe. Advance down the right road and retreat from the wrong. You should cultivate according to the Dhamma, memorize the last verse of this sutta, and recite it often. For if you reflect on the meaning, you will certainly realize Buddhahood. And don't discriminate as to whether I explain the sutta well or not. Just look to see whether or not you cultivate. If you cultivate, what is bad is good. But if you don't cultivate, what is good is bad. Now I'm going to ask you a question. The Six Patriarch was an illiterate. An illiterate cannot have much knowledge. How could someone who couldn't even read speak a sutta? What does this mean? So the student answered, I think the sutta shows that you don't need a lot of scholarly learning in order to become enlightened. The sudden teaching is just the mind, realizing the mind, and we should do it. What do you think of the answer? Huh? What do you think of this student's answer? What is more important? The Dhamma, the awakening, is not a knowledge, you understand? That's why you don't need to have school knowledge. You can be an illiterate who has never gone to school. Truth is true. When you awaken to it, you understand. Your wisdom is not monopolized by those intellect who are very knowledgeable. No, the intellect shows the amount of knowledge you have. But wisdom depends on your condition, your past training, your karmic nature, your spiritual nature, and your condition when you are here. You understand? That's why I never look down upon yourself. Don't go and deludedly say, this is not for me, I wear can, I'm very stupid. Then don't go and create your own fear. Especially last time when people don't understand. They go and worry so much. You want to take Buddhist Sattva? You think you qualify? You think you got standard? You know aeon and aeon. So you go and think like that, I tell you. Means you don't have the understanding. Yes, I do not underestimate who you are, what you are. You can never know. And in the time of the Buddha also same, there's a lot of disciples who doesn't have much understanding or knowledge. There was one monk, the memory very bad. He cannot even remember one stanza. And he become an arahant after the Buddha says, okay, you don't meditate. He give him a white piece of cloth. He say, go and clean it up. The more he clean it up, the more dirty the white cloth become. Then all of a sudden, without knowing a single, remembering a single sutta that the Buddha share or teach, he suddenly become an arahant. You know how he become an arahant? I already explained this at the retreat many times. So I give you a white cloth. I ask you to go and wash it, clean it. Can you become an arahant? Why cannot? You know what happened? The more he cleaned, he realized the more stain went in. Then all of a sudden he realized, no wonder he cannot become enlightened. Well, he recalled the words of the Buddha. He cannot remember the stanza, but he recalled what the Buddha said. Your self nature, your true mind is originally already pure and complete. It's because of ignorance and delusion that defilement went in and make it contaminated because of delusion. Then he suddenly matched the two. If I don't use my mundane mind to stain it, this fellow was already like that. So from that moment onward, he don't want to believe the thought anymore. He just silently relaxed. And he went into that state of stillness. That he awakened and he became arahant. You think he past life didn't do anything? He past life has done a lot of things. That's why he has the condition. But this life has to become like that because of karma. He must have said something to people that he has this type of karmic obstruction. Maybe as a teacher, he simply tells that student, You good for nothing, one stanza also you cannot remember. How can you be enlightened? So he must have come back all these things. But because of his past, his parami, the Buddha gave him the right condition. Then there was another case of a goldsmith's son. He has been a goldsmith's son for the past 500 years. But Sariputta didn't know. He was a student of Sariputta. Sariputta knew that he was a goldsmith's son, very rich, very materialistic. You know what object of meditation Sariputta gave to him? What did Sariputta give to him? He asked him to meditate on death, contemplate on death. This son of a goldsmith, he has been dealing with gold for 500 lives. He was born 500 times in a goldsmith family. And he loved gold. When you ask him to meditate on death, it's so boring. He cannot develop the meditation. So the Buddha knew. The Buddha took over from Sariputta. And called this monk in and said, okay, I give you a new meditation object. So he created, using his psychic, a Buddha image made of gold. Then he said, use this Buddha image and meditate on Buddha Nusati, the virtue of the Buddha. Well, he was full of joy because it connects back to what he liked, his passion. So he keeps on appreciating the beautiful golden image of the Buddha that the Buddha gave him as an object. Then he developed good mind state, samadhi, stillness through the faith, the spiritual faculty, sadha, virya, leading to sati, samadhi. Then all of a sudden, when he was in the midst of that, The Buddha, through his psychic, knew what happened. They created the fading away of the Buddha image. The moment the Buddha image decayed, at that moment he became an arahant, he awakened. And he realized such beautiful ornament, like gold, can just wither and decay that way. What more about his own physical body? Then he linked all the Dhamma. He realized the form are only element, go the way of nature. That all the essential teaching he can understand, come back to him. That's how people develop awakening. So you don't have to be in a specific manner or specific special bright student to awaken. No need. Like when an illiterate also can just awaken. But you need to diligently develop the condition for your awakening. So just cultivate. The three things I used to tell you. Have faith, sincere, persevere. The way will be there. Everything will follow. Means faith, sincerity. And then diligently walk the way, cultivate. Yeah, you will realize. So this is more important. So the student also not bad. he said, this sutta shows that you don't need a lot of scholarly learning in order to become enlightened. Then he said, the sudden teaching is just the mind. So realizing the mind, and we should do it. So to him, he just want to realize the true mind. Then the next student, the Shenhua asked, who else have a view? This is democracy. Speak up. Then the next student said, in the Six Patriarchs Dhamma explanation, where could a word arise? Then the other student said, the principle contained in the sutta are so clear and out in front that every time I try to say something about them, I get tied up in dualism, duality, and felt hopelessly overwhelmed. Then Shenhua asked, does anyone else have an opinion? And then another student said, Master, when the sixth patriarch was about to enter Nibbana, or Parinibbana, he said, see you later. Where is he now? This is a joke. He comes right from where you are speaking. Now, why was it that the master never learned to read? During the time of the six patriarchs, schools were not available at all. And to attend, you had to have money. The six patriarchs' family was extremely poor. Well, his father was an honest official who never took bribe. As a boy, even getting food to eat was a problem for the master. So of course he couldn't go to school. It was a question of environment. Then he never learned to read because his family was poor and because schools were not available. But there is yet another reason. Why did the six patriarchs choose to appear in a poor family? Why did he? He did it to show us that even illiterate can realize Buddhahood and become patriarch. Thus he raised the hope of those who could not read. This could be one of the reasons. But personally, my nature, no. Six patriarch wouldn't come in that way just because he wants you to have this understanding. No. All these cultivators, they won't. It is because of the parents' affinity. There is something that they have done for his nature. That's why he chooses his parents. And for Huining, with that type of nature, he don't have to worry where he is born. You understand? That's why he knows. This parent that come may be very poor in a very remote place, but his nature, that's why he must have make that vow with the understanding. He was born without the mundane mind. So anywhere he is, he will awaken on, I tell you. So why must you choose? No need. Like my nature, this life I came, I know why I choose my parents. Because they benefited me before. In certain life, they did certain things which they themselves do not know. They don't know who I am, what I am, what my nature was. But that life, they were also poor and simple people. They took care, take care of me. They did certain wholesomeness without them realizing it. That's why when my nature see this type of condition, it will manifest a pure wish. Understand? Then this nature will arise a pure wish to take them across, to bring forth the condition for them to receive the Dhamma. And my nature know the best way is to become their children. Once they become my parents, I know these are sincere people. They may be poor, illiterate. The more my parents didn't go to school. My father only attended 2 years of not informal school in China. My mother totally illiterate. The number 0 to 9 also she don't know how to write. She learned that in Malaysia. But my nature know these are sincere people, responsible people. They will take care of their children and all those things. That's why my mother is so blessed. My father has that type of parami. All the children not only survive and healthy, until my neighbor know. But he got one daughter, the son, every time fall sick, very difficult to raise, to bring up, still young. Then this old lady neighbor saw my father and my mother, like very blessed, they give birth to so many, all not only survive, they are brought out in a very nice way and full of blessings. And they know my parents are very kind. So he told the daughter, why not you go and ask for permission for their son to become their, they call Godfather. Make my father the God. Father of the son, Kekia, Choye Kekia, Kaijaya. And really, they go and request. Then my father just smiled out. He said, why? You can go and K to the devas, isn't it? They used to say K to the devas better, isn't it? He said, no. My mother said, you got good parami. Your children all healthy and all those things. So they request. Then my father said, oh, like that. Then he asked my mother. My mother said, it will be good, no problem. So they did it. And immediately after that, the son, no more problem. Become a normal boy, healthy, you know. That's why every year he will come and pay respect. Then my father's funeral, he wear the mourning coat and follow us in the chanting and all those things. That's why sometimes you cannot understand all these things. You think this is fairy tale. No, really. So that's why my nature also knew they will bring us up. They will be very responsible. And that parami alone, enough. I invoke power of merits for causes and conditions, my nature, for them to have the Buddha Dharma in whatever rhyme or existence they may be. And their future will be taken care of. So they don't really have to worry anymore. So this is something that this great being will know, and they know how to manifest it. That's why I say it's not likely. Okay? Then we read on. Seeing the six patriarchs, everybody thought, he never went to school, but he cultivated and obtained the fruit of the way. We can do it too. It is not the case that if you can't read, you can't cultivate. If you think only educated people can cultivate, you are holding a prejudice. The six patriarchs appear to cause us all to lay down such prejudice. As I see, these are the three conditions why the six patriarchs have learned to read. There is one more thing you should recognize clearly about the six patriarchs. He was not lazy. He always practiced the Buddha Dhamma. He became enlightened, and after his enlightenment, he spoke the Platform Sutta. Being able to read is just worldly knowledge. The sixth patriarch understood his mind, saw his nature, and opened up to his inherent wisdom. Because this sutta was spoken from the bright light of his wisdom, its value is incomparable. It's the same as sutta spoken by the Buddha. So do not take it lightly just because he couldn't read. The sutta is now complete, and after teaching it, I make that statement to all of you. So this is Xuan Hua's commentary, his version. What do you all think? I look at it differently. Because, like he say here, he was not lazy. He always practiced the Buddha Dhamma. Do you agree? I don't agree. Huineng no need to practice. Understand? Well, his nature really like that. He hear, he understand, he awaken. He never practice. He don't even know the Buddha Dhamma. Even the Diamond Sutta. First time he heard, he say, what is this? He asked the guy. Understand? He very good. Practice. When he was in the hunter, you think he always sit and meditate? He where got time to do all these things? Because his nature awakened, he already understood. Everything he do is part of the understanding. Because he was born without the mundane mind. Then when he understand what the mundane mind is and how to use it, so like I told you, that super mundane mind, because when your mundane mind collapses, there is a very far supramundane mind. Be there. Otherwise, you cannot come as a human. You cannot live life. So he has this supramundane mind. Except he don't know how to use it. Understand? That's why when the fifth patriarch told him, he straight away came to great awakening. Then he understand that this form of mind is a vehicle and a tool for him to come. And this supramundane mind, or for normal people, is the mundane mind. You have to learn how to use it, and yet not be deceived by it. It's not real. It's not you. Understand not? It's dependent originating, condition arising. So that's why when he understand that, he understood the teaching, which is the Diamond Sutta, in true emptiness. All these don't exist. But within the conditioned world, all this exists. That's why you must know how to use it. The user of thought and the physical body, this is your tool and your vehicle. Once the user has wisdom, this one becomes a blessing to all. It becomes beautiful. That's why he can live life, he can teach, he can share. Then he only need to understand what that nature is. So when it comes to explaining the nature, actually from the point of view, he already understood what the nature is. But he don't understand how to use that supramundane mind. Because he was without the mundane mind. So when the fifth patriarch explained that to him, he connect everything. Then he realized, the fifth patriarch didn't even tell him, nothing is apart from the true nature. The true nature, how amazing that the true nature is complete. By itself. How amazing that all Dhamma comes from the true nature. How did he know all these things? Because the moment he understood what that mundane mind and all his supramundane mind, then he realized everything that he come to know come from that nature, where he already realized that nature, understand? All duality, all good and good. That's why his teaching come from his nature. He inherited his past perfection and cultivation, the spiritual nature. That's how he become what he is. He no need to meditate already. He no need to practice and train. No need, all this. So when people who has the understanding, if you have gone through all this cultivation or what, you will understand why he no need to practice. Why he can just become the way he is. And he can just come out and teach. He don't need to remember any sutta. He don't need to practice anything. Whatever you want to know, you talk to him. he will explain to you. Yeah, he will understand. You remember in between, where he was at Shao Si or don't know what, the wealthy families, one of the daughter of the wealthy family was a bhikkhuni. He was reading this Mahayana Sutta. Then he encountered the six patriarchs. He doesn't know he was a six patriarch. Then he got a question where he cannot understand the sutta. Then this six patriarch told this lady, you read to me, then I will explain the teaching to you. He said, why must I read to you? I pass the sutta to you, you read. Then he told her, I am an illiterate. How amazing, an illiterate. Ask me to read and you can tell me the meaning of the sutta. So he was very, very amazed. And at first he don't believe, but the way the six patriarchs told her, is so confident. That's why he said, yeah, you just read, I will explain to you. Then the moment Huineng explained to him, he realized, this guy, not simple. This must be the real one. So he went and told the whole village and come together and pay respect to Huineng and ask Huineng to stay and teach. That's the teaching. That's why he doesn't need to know the sutta. And do you know this line? I also doesn't know the Mahayana sutta. I don't understand. I only need an English commentary. That's it. Like when I started, the Dhamma Cakkappavattana Sutta, I have not read it before. I just asked Yun Chan, do you have any book? Then the moment I read the three turning, I understand. I don't need to remember, I'm English educated, and all these are Mandarin. You understand? That is how the great thing, when they come, they are different. They don't need to carry anything. They don't need to understand anything. Yeah, their nature once connected, they inherit. And all this understanding is there, inside. That's the reason why I keep on telling you all. There are so many things that I share with you all. I never learned this life, understand? Then how did my nature know? It must be from my spiritual nature. And I don't have to remember. We are this straight from the nature, come on. That's why no need to prepare, no need to do anything. Can follow, so we end, we finish, you know. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So remember, 2nd September 218. So we completed 6 Patriya Sutta. Yeah, 2015. So? 3 years, 3 months. So all awakened already. Connected to the true one. You all sure connect on it. You have the faith. Not long. Some already maybe on the way. Some connected already. And you will know. Because this teaching is different. This one, when it comes, when you understand, the form and mind will know, it will transform. Then you know your form and mind is different. Then later on, when all this stabilizes, you can also share and teach, no problem. You will become different. And you will have a lot of gratitude, joy towards the Buddha, six patriarchs, and all these great beings who has bring forth the condition. For you to receive such teaching, and all the great beings' nature who have given you the blessing, protection, and guidance. So after this, we will go to the Blue Book, cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. Okay. On the 15th, that weekend, again, I have to go back to Alastair because my nephew is getting married. So that weekend, I will be around again. 15, 16, and 17, I will be away. So, 3 days. I think it's a Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I will come back on Monday. Monday morning flight. I should be here by afternoon. So Tuesday class is not affected. So next week still have, huh? Next week is 9. Then 16 class is cancelled. So you want to use next week to have a general discussion on the 6 patriot, the final wrap up. Then we end at 85 lessons, better. Then we will start after I come back. Because our gathering of Kayamita is next month. So our cultivating the Bodhisattva way, we can start end of September. Who's house dana? Oh, then start in October, better. October. No, didn't tell me. Now my, no need to tell me now, it can be later. So next week we use it as a, open discussion. Where we get you all to also share and ask whatever question that you have about the 6 Patriarch Platform Sutta. It's very good as a revision and also a general discussion. All these are very beautiful conditions so that we can end this 6 Patriarch Sutta in a very beautiful way. You want to arrange some puja or chanting also can. So we can start the puja and chanting early, make some offering. We thank all the great beings for whatever condition they have given us to have such beautiful sutta. And we should rejoice with all the Dhamma protector. Today, I tell you, they like give him. Give him until Jinja should be. Very obvious on day one. That's why today I knew I have to go through this and finish it off. Because they know it's the last message, the final understanding. I think Engby didn't hear the beginning. You came late. You go back and listen. Oh, very beautiful. Because immediately my nature noticed. Then my wife also. Can sense that PG fashion, you know. Very strange. Because she's supposed to fetch me at 2:30. Then I said 2:30 too early. Because every time I come 2:30, too early. I said maybe 2:35. Then I don't know what happened. He exactly 2:30 arrived. Then when he arrived, she came in and told me, Bertil, we better go fast. I said, why? He said, going to rain. Actually, the sign of raining was there. Wind, everything, very strong. I said, okay, no problem. I said, no hurry, don't worry. Then we went up the car. So my wife took her time, and she helped me to take the cushion. And then we went in. The moment we went in the car, we drove short distance, less than 1 minute. Pouring like anything. So heavy, you know, the rain. Then PG and my wife said, well, luckily we in the car already. So every time I tease my wife, I say, Dhamma protector, your good friend. That's why they take care of you. And she said, no. He said, nature's phenomenon. And so on, then we came all the way, was pouring like anything. The moment I make a PG turn, I want to come into the gate, the rain completely stopped. Then I tease my wife again. I said, your parami is very good. I said, the Dhamma protector really loves you. He said, no. He said, this is nature's phenomenon. Dhamma niyama. And in Thai, they call it Dhammachat, nature's phenomenon. So I said, I just smiled. You see how? Then we walk in. The moment we walk in, not long, the thunder's there, the pouring. But by then, quite a number came in already. And it pours so heavy. Then you know what happened? When we start up, it was so loud with the mic. I told them this story. And I said, okay, now get ready for puja. Before I even start the chanting, I was kneeling there ready. I want to start Namo Bunsu Shi Jie Mo. That lightning, you go and listen. So loud. One sound. Then after that, start. There are a lot of things happen. That's why I knew. I don't know what topic was it, but I knew we are at the end. Then when I read the first sutta, the sutta part, where we continue, there was the final instruction. That's why everything come up. Then when we ask a question, it complete the whole understanding. And this is so beautiful. That's why this sutta, a lot of conditions behind. Initially, Miss Lee wanted the Diamond Sutta. I said, cannot. I won't teach Diamond Sutta simultaneously at two places. Then finally, she chose Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. It's meant to be. So very, very beautiful. Okay, any questions? Another 5 minutes. Do you have any questions? How many of you are following us to climb? You don't know. I was told by Sri An that the clan people decide to invite us for dinner, the Friday class, their Monday talk. Oh, you also didn't know? Nobody informed. I heard from Sri An. Then he asked PG to fetch me. Maybe give Sri An a call. Then you all should come on. Today? After the class. Together with Joe. Oh, they hold it together with the clan group. Maybe too many people. They want just one table. Then never mind. Then next time. Next time we have our own. So that's why today I supposed to go. What was it that I want to share with you? 7:30. Never mind, I think maybe like NBC, Joe is here. Last night they supposed to have a dinner with me. They invited me. I just came back from Kedah. I arrived at 5 p.m. Then Sri An told me they were at Batuke. It was raining. So this cat, they cannot make it. So they said, never mind, cancer. Then they have it today. But I saw the WhatsApp about clan people, clan group. That's why I thought it was arranged by the clan people. So now we know because of Joe. Any questions? Anything you want to ask? Don't have, then we can end. So you go back and read up a bit, listen to the whatever recording. So next Sunday, we can have a good sharing. The final lesson. Last time, the four foundations of mindfulness, the final summary also turned out to be very beautiful. So whatever you want to know about the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, the cultivation or what, you can ask. Go back and read up a bit. Go through your whatever notes, revision. Then develop the questioning, means the condition for Dhamma to flow. But this time, when I explain, it will be a summary in the sense that you have gone through the sutta. And by now, most of you can understand. Okay, we will recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed today. Then We will share this merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyam kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect to Triple Gem, all the great beings and what you want. Then we can end,
Thank you.